Yes, Fleet Mother. It would be just like a Tim Brimey or Wolfling trick. What do you suggest? Krat was filled with frustration. It had to be a trick. Yet she couldn't abandon the chase, or the Tandu would capture the scout ship. And the longer the chase went on, the worse the attrition on both sides. She threw the plum across the room. It splattered dead center on the rayed spiral glyph of the library. A startled Pill jumped and squeaked in dismay, then glared at her insolently.
"Transmit standard truce call 3, Krat commanded with distaste. "Contact the Tandu stalker. We must put an end to this farce and get back to the planet at once."
The Tandu stalker asked the trainer one more time, "Can you arouse the acceptor?" The trainer knelt before the stalker, offering its own head. "I cannot. It has entered an orgasmic state. It is overstimulated. Operant manipulation does not achieve success." "Then we have no metaphysical way to investigate the strange chase behind us." "We do not. We can only use physical means." The stalker's legs ratcheted. "Go and remove your head. With your last volition, place it in my trophy rack." The trainer rasped assent.
"May the new one I grow serve you better."
"Indeed, but first," the stalker suggested, "arrange to open a talk line with the sorrow. I shall sever the leg I use to talk with them, of course. But talk to them we now must." Buolt bit at his elbow spikes, then used them to preen his ridge crest. He had guessed correctly. He had taken the last 6 Thenanin ships out of the battle between the Tandu and the Sorrow, and arrived at the planet in time to join a long chase. 10 ragged ships were ahead of him, chasing an object that could only dimly be made out.
"More speed," he urged. "The others are uncoordinated. While the Tandu and Sorrow chase a ruse, we are the only fair-sized squadron in the vicinity. We must chase."
Far ahead of the Thenanin, a Gubru captain ruffled its feathers and cackled,
"We catch up. We catch up with the lumbering thing. And look, now that we are near, look and see that its emanations are human. They fly inside the shell, but now we are near and can look and see and catch that which is inside that shell. Now we are near, and we will catch them."
Failure was still possible, of course, but total defeat would be unpermissible.
"If we cannot catch them," it reminded itself, "then we must make certain to destroy them."
Chapter 115. Streaker. The gas giant loomed ahead. The heavily laden streaker lumbered toward it.
"They'll expect us to dive in close for a tight hyperbolic," Tish commented.
"It's generally a good tactic when being chased in a planetary system. A quick thrust while we're swinging near the planet can translate into a major shift in direction."
Jillian nodded.
"That's what they'll expect, but that's not what we'll do."
They watched the screens as 3 large blips grew and then took form as solid figures, ships with ugly battle scars and uglier weapons. The great bulk of the planet began to intrude, even as the pursuing ships grew larger.
"Are all Fen secured?"
"Yes."
"Then you choose the time, Lieutenant. You have a better feel for space battles than I. You know what we want to do."
Tish clapped her jaws together.
"I do, Jillian."
They dove toward the planet.
Soon they'll be committed."
Tish's eyes narrowed. She concentrated on sound images transmitted by her neural link. The bridge was silent except for the nervous clicking of dolphin sonar. Jillian was reminded of tense situations on human ships, when half the crew would be whistling through their teeth without ever being aware of it.
"Get ready,"
Tish told the engineering crew by intercom. The pursuing ships disappeared briefly behind the planet's limb.
Now, she cried for Suessi to hear. Open the rear locks. Activate all pumps.
She swung to the pilot.
Launch that decoy probe. Hard lateral acceleration. Apply stasis to compensate all but 1G rearward. Repeat, allow 1 gravity rearward in the ship.
At the control boards and the bridge sprouted red lights. Forewarned, the crew overrode safeguards as the contents of Streaker's central bay flew out behind her into the vacuum of open space. The Gubru captain was concerned with the Pfaka's ship encroaching on its lead. The commander contemplated maneuvers to destroy the Pfaka, but the master computer suddenly squawked frantically for attention.
They have not done that,
the captain chanted as it stared in disbelief at the display.
They cannot have done such a thing. They cannot have found such a devilish trap. They cannot have...
It watched the Pfaka's ship collide, relativistically, with a barrier that had not been there minutes before. It was only a diffuse stream of gas particles drifting in their path, but unexpected, it met the Pfaka warship's screens like a solid wall. At a fair fraction of light speed, any barrier was deadly.
Veer off,
the Gubru commanded.
Fire all weapons on the quarry.
Fiery energy lanced out, but the beams struck an intangible wall between the Gubru and the rapidly turning Earthship.
Water!
It shrieked as it read the spectral report.
A barrier of water vapor! A civilized race could not have found such a trick in the library. A civilized race could not have stooped so low. A civilized race would not have...
It screamed as the Gubru ship hit a cloud of drifting snowflakes. Lightened by megatons, Streaker screamed about in an arc far tighter than she could have managed minutes before. Her locks closed, and the ship slowly refilled with air. Internal anti-gravity was reapplied. Her space-suited crew fan flew back to their duty stations from hull rooms where they had taken refuge. In the still water-filled bridge, Jillian watched the annihilation of the first two pursuing vessels. The crew cheered as the third battered cruiser swerved desperately, then suffered a malfunction at the last moment and collided disastrously with the diffused cloud. It dissolved into a flat ball of plasma.
The rest of them are still out of sight beyond the gas giant, Jillian said. After the chase from Kithrop, they'll think they know our dynamic and never guess we could turn around like this.
Tisht looked less certain.
Perhaps. We did fire off a decoy probe along our old flight path, mimicking our radiation. They may chase it. At least, I'd be willing to bet they'll come in on a tight and fast hyperbolic.
And we'll pick 'em off as they come.
Jillian felt a little giddy. It was just a chance they might be able to do it cleanly, so cleanly that they might be able to lie low to wait a little longer for Hikahi and Kridaiki, for another miracle. Streaker groaned as she fought to change direction.
Suessi says the wall braces are under stress,
Lucky Ka reported.
He asks if you're going to be turning off stasis again or pulling any other... he calls them wild, crazy female maneuvers. His words, sir.
Jillian gave no answer. Suessi certainly didn't expect one. Streaker completed her sharp turn and sped back the way she had come, just as two more battlecruisers came into view around the limb of the gas giant.
Get 'em, Tisht,
Jillian told the Dolphin officer. An outrage she had not allowed to show in weeks of frustration came out in her voice.
Use your own tactics, but get them.
Yes!
Tisht noted Jillian's bald fists. She felt it too.
Now!
She whirled and called to the crew. Patiently, we took the insults. Patiently, evil intent. Now we stop, patient no longer. Dream and logic join in combat.
The bridge crew cheered. Streaker dove toward the surprised foe. Chapter 116 Galactics. The voice of the Sorrow Matriarch growled out of the communications web.
Then we are in agreement to stop this chase and join our forces?
The Tandu stalker promised itself it would remove two legs, not one, for the shame of making this agreement.
Yes, it replied. If we continue in the present manner, we will only erode ourselves down to nothing. You, Sorrow, fight well, for vermin. Let us unite and end it.
Krat made it explicit.
We swear by Pact Number 1, the oldest and most binding to be found in the library, to capture the Earthlings together, to extract the information together, and to seek out together the emissaries of our ancestors, to let them be the judges of our dispute.
Agreed, the Tandu assented. Now, let us finish here and turn about together to seize the prize.
Chapter 117 Takata Jim. He now understood what humans meant by a Nantucket sleigh ride. Takata Jim was tired. He had fled for what seemed like hours. Every time he tried to make the boat drift to one side, so he could surrender to one party, the other side fired salvos between him and his goal, forcing him back. Then some time ago, he detected a long chain of ships leaving Kithrop in the other direction. It didn't take much to figure out that Streaker was making her move. It's over, then, he thought. I tried to do my duty as I saw it and save my own life at the same time. Now the die is cast. My plan is lost. I'm lost. There's nothing I can do except, maybe, buy Streaker a few minutes. Some time ago, the two fleets had stopped tearing at each other as they chased him. Takata Jim realized they were coming to an agreement. Suddenly, his receiver buzzed with a basic contact code in Galactic 1. The message was simple. Stop and surrender to the combined Tandu-Sorrow fleet. Takata Jim clapped his jaws together. He hadn't a transmitter, so he couldn't respond. But if he stopped dead in space, they would probably take that as a surrender. He delayed until the message had been repeated 3 times. Then he began decreasing speed, but slowly, very slowly, drawing out the time. When the Galactics had drawn close and their threats began to sound final, Takata Jim sighed and turned the longboat's fire control computers back on. The boat bucked as small missiles leaped away. He applied full thrust again. When both flotillas simultaneously fired volleys of missiles at him, he tried to evade, of course. It would be unsporting to give up. But he didn't have the heart for a major effort. Instead, while he waited, he worked on a poem. The saddest of things to a dolphin, even me, is to die alone.
This ends Side 1 of Cassette 12.